This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, so we start on Chof Dalad Amud Aleph in Megillah. The last part of the Mishnah on Chof Dalad Amud Aleph. Opposite page, well, I don't mind, doesn't have the opposite page. Opposite page 46. And today is a little bit more complicated, a little bit more complex than the previous ones. But we'll work our way through it all right. Let's start at the end of the Mishnah. Where the Mishnah says, this is now 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the page. Suma, a blind person, peres es shema umetargem. He can do the peres shema, we'll see in a moment what that means. Umetargem, and he can do the translation of the Kriyas HaTorah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, let's just pause there a moment and understand what is peres es shema. So that's defined, it's talked about earlier in the Gemara, and it's defined in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Samach Tes, in Orach Chaim, where it says the following, Im yesh b'nei odom shehispalalu kol echod b'fnei atzmoi b'yochid, if there are people who've all davened by themselves, v'loi shamu loi kaddish v'loi kedusha. It can happen, believe it or not, occasionally people come to shul late and they didn't hear Kaddish and Kedusha. So what happens then? And that's why they daven b'yichidus, they come to shul late, they stand at the back, they daven, they catch up. But they didn't hear Baruch Hu, they didn't hear Kedusha. Oymer echod mehem, at the end of davening, one of them stands up, v'oymer Kaddish u'Baruch Hu, and they say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Have you seen that done? So at the end of davening, somebody says, the Sfaradim do it, and in Israel they do it now as a standard thing, they just do it automatically. But otherwise, it's done for people who didn't hear Baruch Hu. Uvrocho Rishoyna Yetzeror. And they say the Brocha of Yetzeror, which we don't do today. As the Ramo says, V'achshav lo nahagu lo ma'kol b'chas Yetzeror. Today we don't say the Yetzer'or, Elohim im Kaddish u'Baruch Hu, v'heim im Machro Baruch Hu. We just say Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Kaddish, you know, you may say Kaddish, like at the end of Aleinu, or at the end of the Shushan Yom, you'll say Kaddish, and right after that, Baruch Hu. Yetzer'or, why do we say Yetzer'or? After bizmaneinu kulam b'kiyin v'en tzorek l'birkas ha'mavoreshu yetzi'en ha'bracha. Today we all know how to daven, we can now use a stidus, so really one doesn't need this person to say Yetzer'or, and especially in the scenario that the Mechaber is talking about, everybody's already daven, so it's not that they need this person to be motzi them. Nevertheless, the Mechaber holds, as does our Mishnah, the Omer Yetzer'or, that he should still say Yetzer'or, Mishum shiloyu nirin kekoifrim chas v'sholem, so that the people don't look like kofrim. They don't look like they're not relating to Hashem. Shehu amei Elohim shiyavorchu. He says, Baruch es Hashem hamavoyroch, and they're not making a bracha. Ve'enechod meim shiyavorech. Lekachoyim er yotzer or v'kol ram. Therefore, he says yotzer or v'acherim shoyimim, and the other people hear, v'hashomei akoyne, and since they hear, it's as if they've said. So that's why the Mishnah says you've got to say Yetzer'or, because when you say, if he goes up, it looks funny, you say, Baruch Hashem, I'm Voyach, Baruch Hashem, Voyach, Voyach, I'm Voyach, and there's no bracha. So normally when we do it, there is a bracha that follows. Right after Baruch Hu, we say Yetzer'or. But if you're doing it at the end of davening and you've already said Yetzer'or, you do nothing after, you just stand there. That means like you're not agreeing. The Shliach Tzibur says, bless Hashem, Baruch Hashem, I'm Voyach, and you walk out and go home. It's not right. It's not nice. So it's the right thing to do then, according to the Mechaber, is for the Shliach Tzibur to say Yotzer Or. And although they've already said it, they've done by hearing and answering Amen, it's as if they're saying it again, and therefore they're not denying Hashem, they're actually responding to the call of Baruch Hu. That's what Peres Hashema means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shelei Ro'o Me'eres Miyomo Ve'ena Peres Hashema. Rabbi Yehuda says, somebody who's never seen light can't say that bracha. You can't be mostly other people for that. You can't say that bracha on behalf of others. The bracha of thanking God who created light, Yetzer Or, very choshech. A blind person who's never seen light and darkness, he can't say that bracha for other people. He can't be mostly. That's what the Mishnah says. What about... We're going to go straight into the Tosfos. So the Tosfos is the last Tosfos there. Mi shelo ro'o ma'oros lo yifros al shema asks Tosfos on Rabbi Yehuda kosher. This is very odd. The whole Rabbi Yehuda who the Omar beferek achovel, it's this very Rabbi Yehuda who said in Bava Kama, suma potul mikol ha-mitzvahs. A blind person is potul from all mitzvahs. Blind person doesn't have to keep any of the mitzvahs. V'imkein, and therefore, I ayri hacha besuma, afilu ro'o ma'urus benistam, nami. Therefore, if we're talking here about a blind person, even if he once saw and he's no longer blind, why does Rabbi Yehuda say, because he hasn't seen light, how can he say this brach? He doesn't have to say any brachas. And how can it even be an assumption that maybe he has to say it doesn't apply to him? He doesn't keep any mitzvahs. It's got nothing to do with the fact that he never saw light. Umafarish Birushalmi, the Loy Mairi Basuma Mamash, the Yerushalmi has a different approach and says this is not talking about a blind person. Because you're right, a blind person doesn't have to keep any mitzvahs. This Rabbi Yehuda's thing doesn't apply to a blind person. And the Ma'arishu Beveis Ofel, this talks about a person who's lived all his life in a dark house. He's never seen light. He's lived in a cave, or he's lived in a dark place, in a dull place. He's never had the benefit of life, of light. And therefore he can't say the Baruch of Yetzirah, not because he's blind, just because he hasn't experienced light. So Oed Yeshlama, we're going to focus on the second part of Tosfos, next piece. But there's another way of explaining it. The Mairi Shafri Basuma. It may well be talking about a blind man. Vahar de Patrina and Hosom Sumo. And this the Rabbi Yehuda said in Bava Kama, a blind man is free from all the mitzvahs, Hainu min HaTorah. That's talking Midoraisa. From a Doraisa, from a Torah perspective, a blind man is potter. Ava Midrabonin miho Chayev, but from Midrabonin is Chayev. Why is he chayev midrabbanan? Why did the rabbanan impose the mitzvahs on a blind man, which the Torah frees? A woman is not chayev in mitzvahs asher she has man grama. The rabbanan didn't come along and say, "Well, we say she should be." The Torah says they're pturos, so they're pturos. The rabbanan didn't impose that. Why for the suma? Why a blind man did the rabbanan impose the chiyuvim? Va'afilu nistamei mishalei, that even if he was blind from birth. Mikoma kum chayev midrabbanan. He's still chayev midrabbanan. He has a rabbinical obligation to perform all the mitzvahs. We have a doraisa obligation. He has a rabbinical obligation. Why? Shelo yehei kenochri. The lo yehei noheg boedas yehudi klal. Kind of a Jewish person who doesn't keep the mitzvahs, then what's Jewish about him? So the rabbanan came and said that wouldn't be, that kind of excludes him from the community. It's true. Technically, he's not chayev. But that excludes him from the community. That alienates him from the community. So the Rabbonin imposed the obligations on him so as to incorporate him back in the community. The Lord Dami Lenoshim, it's not like women. Here he explains, what's the difference? Why didn't we do that for women? The women are potter from mitzvahs asay, even those that are only midrabbanan. Share b'nei Chanukah v'arba kreisus v'mikra megira. The lo havu emunah midrabbanan lo mechayiv elo l'fishen al yubayis anes. Ner Chanukah, arba kreisus, and megira are women chayiv? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because they were in the miracle. So ask Tosfos, why do you need that reason? Maybe the Rabbanan just added on the same as they did with the Sumah. No, says the Rabbanan, they never added on a general obligation on women for mitzvahs other than those specific ones because they were included in the miracle. That implies the fact that that's the reason given makes it very clear that in all cases of the Rabbonin where women were not included in the miracle, they're not chayav, they have no chiyuv. There the reason is, even if we leave them free of all mitzvahs asay that are time related, they've still got lots of other mitzvahs. Women have got no shortage of mitzvahs. So the woman isn't excluded from any kind of association with the Jewish community by way of being potter from the mitzvahs asay she has among grammar. There are lots of other mitzvahs that apply to her. Avasumo, im nifterosa mikol mitzvahs afilu moisen she'ena nila medrabonim. If we release a blind person from all mitzvahs, the rishis and the rabbonim in Kenya, choshub kenachri, he'll be like a goy. So here we have the definition of choshub, not of a goy technically. A goy technically is somebody whose mother was not Jewish. But there's another idea. A person who doesn't have mitzvahs. A person who's not chayiv mitzvahs. If you're not, that's what makes a Jew a Jew. A Jew is somebody who's chayiv the mitzvahs. Other than the Sheva Mitzvahs, but enough. If one isn't Chayiv Mitzvahs, that's what a goy is. So then, and based on this, it's quite interesting. So what does being Jewish mean? Mean? Having additional responsibilities, that's all it means. It's not about privileges, it's about responsibilities. What defines us is the chiyuvim that we've got, the obligations. And that's why we say to somebody who wants to convert, what do we say? What do you want it for? Why do you want chiyuvim? Why more chiyuvim? And that's what we say to women who want to do the mitzvahs, asay she'azman grammar, who want to do the men-related mitzvahs. You can, but why? Why do you want to? Are you doing all this, all the other stuff? Why do you want extra chiyuvim? What differentiates us as a nation is our chiyuvim.
Does the blind man take the care he brings in the morning?
No. Says Tosfos. Now Tosfos has one further question. What Tosfos is going to come on to now is an interesting idea which he develops earlier on in the Perek, and we'll have a look at it, where he says, can a katan be motzi a godel? So an adult is chayev kiddush on Shabbos. Can a katan say the kiddush and be motzi that? Why not? He is chayev. The katan is also chayev. What's he chayev? Midrash chiyuv, which is a midrabonin. So you can't, a drabonin chiyuv cannot be moitzi a doraisa chiyuv. You can't, a drabonin can't do it on behalf of a doraisa. What about a katan being moitzi somebody who's chani chayev with drabonin? So let's say, what would be an example of a chiyuv drabonin? Sorry? No, let's say a mitzvah drabonin would be mikra megillah or something like that, right? Chiyuv drabonin, can a cotton be mechaya, can a cotton be mosi? So that's on Daf Yud Tes. You see, he can't. Why not? So Tosfos develops there on Daf Yud Tes the idea that a cotton, megillah is one drabonin, and being a cotton is a double drabonin, and a double drabonin cannot be mosi a single drabonin. So the adult is chayiv megillah midrabonin, that the cotton is chayiv megillah, which is midrabonin because he's a cotton, so he's got a double weakness in his thing. Drabonin's already a weakness, and the double drabonin is a double weakness, so just as a drabonin cannot be moitzi a daraisa, so a double drabonin cannot be moitzi a single drabonin. A little bit of mathematics. In that case, asks Tosfos, afagav de pirashti le'el, the cotton is a trei midrabonin, a cotton who has two drabonins, shu cotton, ufrisa shema. Cotton is a drabonin, and prisha shema, the lo havi elam a drabonin, is also any midrabonin. En yochol lo hitzi acherim gedoilim, that he can't be motzi acherim, others who are adults, to make elot had drabonin, because they've only got one drabonin, prisha shema. Therefore, how can a suma, if a suma wants to say baruchu, then there's a double drabonin, isn't there? He's a blind person, and baruchu is the drabonin. And if he wants to be mostly a regular person, that is only one drabonin. So why don't we say he can't do it because of that? It's got nothing to do with whether he's seen light in his life or not. It's just got to do with the fact that he's chayiv midrabonin, and other people, and it's only chiyuv d'rabbanan, and the other people it's only one d'rabbanan. So Tosfos, that works with a cotton but not a sunnah. So Tosfos is driving a very fine distinction between the d'rabbanan obligation on a cotton, on a child, and the d'rabbanan obligation on a blind person. What does Tosfos say? Yeah, but still, but the child himself. Let's just see. And I'll cut the rabbi. Prishishma, afil ha'achi, nevertheless. Sumo shiyesh botzoim bidrabonon, yotzi shapir ha'acherim. Other than the problem of not having experienced light, he could be motzi others. The kivan shuhu godol uvardas, because since he is an adult and intelligent, adif tzvei mikoton is better than a child. So Tosfos is modifying his principle. Tosfos' principle is a double drabonon cannot be mostly a single drabonon. That he says it depends what kind of double drabonon. If it's a double drabonon like a cotton, like a child, that won't work. But if it's a double drabonon by an adult blind person, that he could be mostly somebody else other than the problem of not having seen the light. So we've got to try and understand what on earth does that really mean. Now, if you look back on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, there's a Tosfos there, a long Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, also Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we got Yud Tes Amud Beis. That's opposite page what? There, that's our Yud Tes Amud Beis. On page 38, and on the long Tosfos, down towards the end of that long Tosfos, the start of Rabbi Yehuda, about 10 lines from the bottom of that Tosfos, would be kol makom kashya. Nevertheless, was a question. The ka'amrinan, for we say, the Rav Sheshes v'Rav Yosef Amri Agadata Belele Psochim U'metziin Ha'acherim. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef used to say the Haggadah on Seder night and be motzi other people. It's an important comment that Tosfos makes. So you see from there that the din of the Baal Seder is that he's being motzi. And he has to have that intention. When we sit down at the Seder, the Baal Haggadah reads the Haggadah. What is everybody else doing? So either they all read it themselves, but then they must read the whole thing. But if the other people are passive, then the Baal Haggadah, the Baal HaSeder, the person who's reading, is being motzi everybody. There's a chiyuv to be read the Haggadah, and the person reading it is doing it on behalf of everybody else. So this is really being motzi. And Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef used to do that too. What's peculiar about Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef? They were blind. Both of them were blind. So asks the Tosfos, how could Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef have read the Haggadah on Pesach? When asked about it, they said, we hold that matzah is the rabbonin nowadays. Without the Beis HaMikdash, without the Korban Pesach, matzah is the rabbonin. So you're right, we're only chayav the rabbonin, but so are you only chayav the rabbonin, so we can do it for you. We can be most of you, the Haggadah part. But according to my theory, that doesn't work. They're double the rabbonin. Exactly the same question that we've got here. So Summa Potter Miloimer Haggadah, the Summa is Potter Midorai, so the Summa doesn't have to say the Haggadah at all. Umafti Acherim de Chayovim Miad Rabbonin, and they're being mostly others who are Chayiv Mid Rabbonin. How can they do that? Velekab Uelechad Rabbonin, so the others only have one Rabbonin. What is the one Midorai? So in the Beis HaMikdash time, they've got to read the Haggadah. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash, so Midorai, so they don't have to read the Haggadah, but Mid Rabbonin they do. So they've got one Rabbonin. A Summa doesn't have to even meet a Midrash, he doesn't have to at all, but Midrabonin he does. So Midrabonin he has to do a Midrabonin mitzvah, that's a double Midrabonin. How can a double Midrabonin be mostly a regular one? You can make a note of it, it's a nice thing to discuss at your Seder night. Answers Tosfos, the Yeshlema, the Summa Adif Mikoton, a blind person is better than a cotton. Sharei Mischayev Kfar Midoraisa, because he's already been obligated Midoraisa, Masha'en came the cotton never has. So one of the ways of understanding this is the way that Rashba seems to understand it. Rashba mentions in Tosfos' name that this principle only works with a person who's become blind after having been born. But if he was once able to see, then he's chayav. This that Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person is potter, but Rashba says in the name of Tosfos that only applies to people who became blind later in life. And that would make sense here. I mean, Tosfos says that the blind person has already been chayav midoraisa. That would seem to be because he once was able to see. Now he can't see, so he's lost his chiyuv. He's no longer chayav. But that's better than a cotton who was never chayav. So if we understand Tosfos to mean that, then that would be fine. We would understand Tosfos fine. Tosfos is saying a child has never had a chiyuv. Blind person had a chiyuv, but he no longer has the chiyuv. But what would make that difficult is, why doesn't Tosfos answer the same way here? What does our Tosfos say is the difference? He says he's a godel ubadas, he's an adult and he's got intelligence. That's a different answer. Why not give the same answer? If the difference is that a child was never chayav and a sumer was, then say that. So it seems to be that Tosfos means something else. And Rabbi Chon Wasserman explains on Das Yutes, on the previous Tosfos, in Tosfos Shurim, Perek Beis Lamed Aleph, that Rabbi Chon Wasserman explains that the blind man is not potter because of for the fact that he as a human being is not chayav. That's not what it is. For example, what would happen if he has an operation and he gets his sight back? Then he becomes chayav. So that's not like a woman who's potter, or a cotton who's potter, or a goy who's potter. It's not like that. He's not like a goy. It's just that there's a temporary, the problem is a timing one. He's in a phase of his life where he can't see. Maybe it will be permanent. But the problem is a difficulty in his capacity rather than that he's a being who's not chayav. A cotton, a child, is a being who has no chiyuvim. But an adult, bardas, blind person, has chiyuvim. It's just that the chiyuvim don't apply for as long as he can't see. But hopefully that's not forever, and then he'll have the chiyuvim again. It's a different kind. Someone wants to say it's a different kind of problem. Here comes the interesting part. It's close to be, except a cotton is defined. He'll become a godel, but when he's a godel, he changes his definition.
He's blind and,
but he doesn't change his. You're right, but the chiddush of Chon Wasserman is he doesn't change his halachic definition. A cotton is a cotton. When he has the mitzvah, he's no longer a cotton. He's been transformed. He's now a different halachic concept. A blind man who can start seeing is still the same human, the same man, same halachic concept, except he can see now. The fact that he can see means he's chayiv in certain things that he wasn't before. The Chon Wasserman says it's like certain mitzvahs that you're not chayiv at night. You're not chayiv tzitzis at night. It's not because you're a goy. It's because it's night time. Tomorrow will be daytime and you'll be chayiv again. That's how he sees the blind man. It's not because you're a goy, it's because you're in a situation where you can't interact with the world the way that you need to in order to be mechayim the mitzvahs, therefore you're potter from the mitzvahs. So you see, it's a difficult idea, but that's how he explains it.
Then he only has one chiyuv, no? Because you say, as a blind person, we're going to waive the doraita, but the rabbanon is going to stay. Therefore, he's only got the darabanon, which is only one chiyuv, where the cotton is the two. So he's the same as everyone else.
Why is the blind one only got one chiyuv?
He's got a direct chiyuv to do the darabanon. He's got a chiyuv to do everything darabanon. Where cotton is two, he's got a chiyuv for chiyuv. And from the chiyuv comes the chiyuv.
The rabbonon, which is another rabbonon.
Yeah.
So you want to say a cotton is more of a double the rabbonon than a sumer, who's almost a one
the
rabbonon. Yeah, that could be what this is saying. That's why it's adik. It's almost as if it's not a double the rabbonon. The Tura Evin, as the Shagas Arya, asks a beautiful question. He says, where did the rabbonon get their rights to make laws from? Why do we have to listen to it? Hashem gave us a Torah at Sinai. And now the clerics come along and they add on a whole new Torah. Who says we have to listen to them? Why do we have to listen to them? What's the answer?
Says that they have the right to create.
Where does the Torah say that?
Okay.
So the Rambam starts off the Sefer HaMitzvot, and he says, HaShoresh HaRishon. He starts off giving a whole lot of principles that govern the way he counts the mitzvahs. How many principles are there? I think 14. There are 14 Shoroshim. And he uses these 14 principles as the template by which he then decides whether something is a mitzvah d'oraisa or it isn't, whether it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the first of these principles is, she'ein roi limnes bifal azeh mitzvah she'ein b'drabonim. We don't include the rabbonim. They're not d'oraisa. The rabbonim are not d'oraisa. So we might say, we need the Rambam for that. And the Rambam says, Zaki, zeh inyan lo hayara uilo reira lav levaro. I shouldn't even have to mention that. You're right. That's what you would think it's a strange thing. Because it's just pretty Tariyag mitzvahs named in the Moshe B'Sinai. There were 613 mitzvahs given to Moshe on Sinai. So the things that Rabbanan added later on, of course we don't include. Why do I even mention it? He says, I've got to mention this because many people have made a mistake in this. Of course the people he's talking about are Rishonim and Goyne. He's made an error in this and they've counted the Rabbanan. And then he goes on and he explains on what brings them that. What brought them to this is he obtained the mevorchim asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu. We say asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu on the rabbanon. We light candles on Friday night. That's not a doraisa. If you say asher kiddushonu, we light Hanukkah. Not a doraisa. We say asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos. Hashem who commanded us. Where did Hashem command us? Mishael as a Talmud. The Gemara asks, Heichom tzivanu. Where did Hashem command us these mitzvos? The Omru and the Gemara answers, Miloi tosu. Says in the Torah, you're not allowed to deviate from what the Chachomim tell you. Based on that, the Chachomim understand they have a right to tell us things that aren't in the Torah. If it's in the Torah, then the Torah doesn't have to tell us if we're not allowed to deviate. Asks the Shai Gesariah, what's his question now? If a blind man is potter mi mitzvahs d'oraisa, then loy tosu doesn't apply to him either. If Loitosa doesn't apply to him, then the Rabbonim don't apply to him. How can he be chayiv with the Rabbonim and not with the Doraisa? That's brilliant. The whole foundation of every Rabbonim is a Doraisa. If he's potter from the Doraisa, he's potter from the Rabbonim. How can you distinguish? That's what he asks. So what is the answer? There's only one answer. It's like when you get your friend in check and there's only one move. There are no other options. There's only one answer. What do you have to say? You would have said it doesn't apply to mitzvahs loy tase. Say mitzvahs ase, this but a sumer, blind person is potter, it's mitzvahs ase, the positive mitzvahs. Clearly it can't apply to the negative mitzvahs, because if it applied to the negative mitzvahs, then he wouldn't be chayav for Lord Tosu. If Lord Tosu doesn't apply to him, then they know the Rabbonim. The fact that the Rabbonim can impose laws on him using their loy tosu rights means that he's bound by Loi Sosur. How can he be bound by Loi Sosur if he's potter from the Doraisas? Says the Shagatariya, he can only be potter from the Loi Tasas, not the Asas. The Shagatariya says that, and Rabbi Akiva Eger says the same thing. Two brilliant minds come to the conclusion that this which we've said, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Suma is potter min ha-mitzvahs, he's talking about the positive mitzvahs, not the negative mitzvahs. So now you should be able to ask a question. The Rabbanan can't pattern him from the Torah mitzvahs. They're saying the Torah patterns him from their mitzvahs. The Torah patterns from the Torah he's not potter, but they add the mitzvahs back again in the Rabbanan capacity, not in a Doraisa capacity. But since the Tereven is, they've got no right to do that. Because if Loi Tosu doesn't apply to him, so you must say Loi Tosu does apply to him. Why does Loi Tosu apply to him? Because it's a negative mitzvah, not a positive mitzvah. But now you should have a question on the Shagas area. What's the question on the Shagas area? Question comes from our thesis. Why?
Because Tosfot says that because he has some sort of which Tosfot?
Our Tosfot on the Kaf Daf, both of them.
Well, your thesis is different because in your thesis says that he used to be,
but okay, but let's talk about that, depending how we understand Tosfos here, but let's assume that it's talking about even a Summa who's been a Summa all his life. What's the question from our Tosfos on the Tereven, on the Shagat Hayah? What did our Tosfos say was the reason? Why is he Chayav Midrabbanan? If the Torah said he's Potter, why did the Rabbanan come and add the Mitzvahs back again? Otherwise he would be like a Goy. If he's Chayav in all the Mitzvahs, Loitah, so he's not like a Goy. Why are we worried? Why do we have to, according to the Shagat Hayah, the Tereven says he's Chayav with all the Mitzvahs, Loitah, so he's not like a Goy. So then it's the same as the case of women. We said we don't have to add all the mitzvahs back for a woman because she's got enough mitzvahs. They're mitzvahs which apply. She's not like a goy. She's got tons of mitzvahs. It's just one category of mitzvahs that don't apply to her.
Well, you've got two categories.
Okay, but you've still got mitzvahs.
But made to be inclusive, you need to do something. You need to abstain.
So you've got to say abstention isn't the distinguishing factor. So now we have a really interesting thing because an individual defines him or herself as an individual very often by the things we don't do. That's what really defines us. The things that we do, we could be doing for all sorts of different reasons. There are all sorts of political dimensions that come into why people do things, psychological dimensions, political dimensions, why people do things. But to abstain is something very majestic. To decide, nobody knows about it. Something, and that's why we've said that Hillel said to the Goy, when the Goy said, teach me the Torah while I stand on one leg, what did Hillel say? What you don't like, don't do to others. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, the positive sense. Hillel turns it into a negative. Because there's more nobility in the restraint than there is in the action. And action, who knows why you're doing it, and for what kind of glory you're doing it, and what kind of recognition and acceptance you're doing it. Who knows why you're doing it? So when you're defining yourself, we define ourselves by the things we don't do, rather than by the things we do. But when you define a community by the things it does, not by the things it doesn't do. They're two different kinds of definition. Because when you define a community, it doesn't matter if I say to you, the reason you're davening is because you want to impress the rabbi. The rabbi says something about the community, doesn't it? So the rabbi is impressed by people who daven, not by people who've got money. It says something about the community. So what? So that's the reason. It doesn't say a whole lot about you, but it does say a whole lot about the community. You're giving tzedakah because there was social pressure. It doesn't say a whole lot about you, but it says something about the community. Social pressure to give tzedakah, not a bad thing. So when it comes to defining yourself, it's much more important to look at what you don't do than what you do do. That's how you really define yourself as an individual. That's what somebody says, he's such a great person, he does this, he does this, he does that. Not interested in what he does. I'm interested in what he doesn't do. Does he not talk Lashon Hara? Does he not get involved in politics? Does he not walk past somebody suffering without responding? What does he not do? That's what's really interesting in the way you define an individual. But in the way you define a community, it's by what the community does, not by what the community doesn't do. So it could be very well. Tosfos says, yes, the Rabbanan were concerned that the Tsuma, the blind person, who according to the Turei Evin, is obligated in the Loisah says, but not the Asays, will feel and will be considered outside of the community, not like a Jewish person, because he doesn't have to do anything. He has to not do stuff, and that's where he's in. So he's, within himself, he's defined. But he's not defined as an active member of a community, because an active member of a community is through the way we engage with one another and with Hashem. Not the way we don't engage. That's what really defines. And therefore we understand from this the understanding first of definition, that there's what Tosfos is talking about is not personal definition here. What Tosfos is talking about is Yechashev Kegoy, that a person Kenochri, a person should not be considered as outside of the community, as a non-Jewish person, merely because they don't have positive chiyuvim, they don't have obligations. So what does a community need to do in order to create a sense of community? We create obligations on ourselves. That's how you create community. If there are no obligations, that's the problem with shtibelach. Shtibels are not communities. If they're communities, they're not shtibels. A shtibel is a supermarket. It's a place you come to for services. You get your davening, you go. What makes a community is it demands investment of people. It requires that people do, that people give. Not just money, that they give of their time, that they engage with one another, that they help one another. That's what community is. And community is created by what we do for each other, not just what we don't do for each other. You can have two neighbors who don't do anything bad to one another. They never had an argument. It doesn't mean they have community. They maybe have never seen each other. I've often had situations where I've had neighbors for years and years and I didn't know them. Just didn't know them. That's not community. Even though there's no loss, says nobody's done anything to damage the other person. It's not, that doesn't make community. Community is people and people engage. And it's one of the special things about Jewish communities, and it's something that the non-Jews notice and admire and are amazed by, the extent to which there is community. It's quite interesting. I was somewhat involved with the Jewish day school in Port Elizabeth that is busy transforming itself because it's got a very small percentage of Jewish kids, but they want to keep it a Jewish school. And the interesting thing is the pressure to keep it a Jewish school is coming from the non-Jewish parent body, not from the Jewish parent body. So interesting. The non-Jewish parent body are saying, why are our children here? Why haven't we sent them to other private schools? We brought them here because it's a Jewish school. And I spoke to one of them, who is the principal of the school. Non-Jewish children are at the school. He says, my children are here because I want my children in a Jewish school. He says, the Jews don't understand. It's not we're not doing them a favor to bring our kids here to kind of keep the school going. We're bringing them here because we want the school to retain Jewish values. Because you don't find family and community outside of the Jewish community to this kind of degree. And we want our children to learn that. We want them to see it. Yeah, but community means chiyuv. That's what we do. When you start requiring of people to give, that's when but family is the same. If you let kids get away with putting nothing into the family, they don't feel part of the family. We feel connected when we invest. We don't feel connected when we receive. We feel connected when we invest, not when we receive. And community requires investment. Being considered Jewish requires chiyuvim. And it requires chiyuvim mitzvahs aseh, not mitzvahs lois aseh. Mitzvahs lois aseh is fine, that's great, but that doesn't make community. Community is made only out of the obligation to invest and participate in positive action. Therefore what? You mustn't...